This is Here and Now, broadcasting from Tempe, Arizona, and the headline in the local paper caught our attention this week. The National Weather Service predicts there will be no more 110 degree days in Phoenix for the rest of the year. Hallelujah. Absolutely. Because the temperature exceeded 110 degrees 29 days this summer. That is the fourth most of all time. We wanted to get an idea of how people here will adapt to the heat, especially as the climate gets hotter and drier in the future. So we met with ASU Professor Ariana Medel at the hottest place on campus. And Professor, thank you for joining us here. It is 79 degrees right now, so it's actually quite balmy and beautiful.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's really nice out, and I'm glad we won't have any more 110 degree days this year. We have had many of them. And in fact, if you look at the temperatures that are above 100, usually we can hit up to 100 days that are 100 degrees Fahrenheit or more. And that's going to become much worse in the future because it's predicted that conditions become more extreme and heat waves become more frequent and may last longer too.
It's hard to imagine this city getting any hotter. On June 26, 1990, the temperature soared to 122 degrees. That record still stands. But with a changing climate, it may not for long. That's why the work of Medel and her assistant Marty is so important.
Yeah, Marty can measure how you experience temperature. So if you look at the weather forecast, you usually get air temperature in the forecast, but that doesn't necessarily represent how you experience the temperature because there's a big difference if you're standing in the shade or if you're standing in the sun. So Marty can pick up those differences and tell you how you feel if you're in the shade or in the sun.
And we should let listeners know that Marty is a robot.
Yeah, Marty actually is a robot. Marty is a mobile weather station.
You use Marty quite a bit in helping gauge temperature all throughout campus.
Yes, we took Marty all across campus and we measured a variety of locations. We measured how you would feel under a tree in shade. We measured how you would feel in the middle of the Hayden Library lawn, which is a huge grass area with the walkway. We measured how you would feel under power parasols, which are shade structures that produce energy. They're solar structures. And then we looked at we compared the locations to see which ones were more comfortable than others.
We are in the middle of two what appears to be concrete buildings on campus. This is the hottest place on campus. How is it the hottest place on campus? And tell us how you know it.
Yeah, so this is the hottest place on campus, mainly because there is so much concrete that's surrounding you. It's like a concrete jungle, essentially. So there's concrete underneath, the buildings are concrete, and it's a very light surface, so it has a very high reflectivity. So as the sun hits the surface, the light is reflected back at you, and that makes you feel much more uncomfortable.
In this fast-growing 517-square-mile city, concrete and asphalt are everywhere, which means people here have a hard time escaping the heat. In Arizona, heat-related deaths tripled from 2014 to 2017.
There are two ways people can adapt. One is through behavior, changing their behavior, getting up earlier or staying up longer, shifting their activities to the early morning or the late evening. And the second way to adapt is to try to modify the urban environment to make it more comfortable for people outdoors.
Yeah, and this is where your work comes in and thinking about that. One of the things, though, that I'm thinking about is the fact that folks who live in the desert have adapted for so long in the heat. It's part of what folks do here. But part of the ways that they've been working to adapt is through things like air conditioning, which contributes to climate change. What are some ways that you're suggesting folks do this without further burdening the environment?
So one important factor when you think about how people feel outdoors in this environment is actually the radiation or the amount of shade that you have in the urban fabric. So if you are able to increase the amount of shade in the urban environment, you make it more comfortable for people outdoors, and it increases the likelihood that people are actually active outdoors.
We've seen the nighttime temperatures in the city go up by an average of 9 degrees. Can you talk about why this is happening and what impact this really has on our bodies?
Yeah, so this is a phenomenon called the urban heat island effect. And that happens because as we urbanize these areas that we move to, we bring in all these artificial surfaces. So we bring in concrete, we build asphalt parking lots and roads, and all of these different surfaces have the characteristic that they can store the heat during the day as the sun hits those surfaces, and then at night they slowly release the heat. So as it becomes dark, there's still this heat in those surfaces, and this heat gets released slowly, which makes it much warmer at night, which is bad because that increases the demand for energy use, for air conditioning, for example, and it doesn't really give people a relief from the heat that they experience during the day.
This is amazing to hear because so much of this city is built up with concrete. Have you talked with city officials about your research and what this means perhaps for the future in building up the city as it continues to grow?
Yeah, so we work a lot with the city of Tempe, the city of Phoenix, trying to mainly measure the conditions outdoors to come up with recommendations that they can use and hopefully translate into policy. And those changes include planting trees, producing more shade, using more permeable surfaces that don't store the heat as much, maybe even looking into cool surfaces, highly reflective surfaces, although those actually decrease thermal comfort because of the increased radiation. So there are various ways you can mitigate the heat, try to mitigate the heat to make it more comfortable here.
What can other parts of the world learn from the work that you all are doing here and learning about heat adaptability?
Yeah, we're in a very unique situation here in Phoenix because it is already hot, and a lot of places in the future elsewhere are predicted to become hotter. So as we have these almost ideal conditions in terms of the heat, it's a perfect place to test certain mitigation strategies and see what works and what doesn't work, so that then in the future other places around the world can use those strategies to adapt.
I'm sure Marty let you all know scientifically about the hottest places, not only on this campus, but in the city. But I'm sure that students and other folks probably could have given you unscientific research as well about the places that are the hottest here. Is this corridor that we're standing in a place that students try to avoid as they're walking through to campus and classes?
Actually, it is. So if you look at this place, it's mostly used by bikers. So you have people biking or being
we
on
actually
these
see a biker driving past right now.
Yeah, so be careful. There's a bike here. Because there is just north of here, just 20 yards away, there is a tunnel through a building, and usually people walk through that tunnel over there, and they avoid this concrete path that we're standing on right now. So it's mainly used by bikers.
Or at this time of day when the sun is not here yet. Not all shade is created equally when we're talking about finding places of relief.
Yes, so we currently have an ongoing study that we call 50 Grades of Shade, where we investigate 50 different shade types across campus and in parks. So we look at various tree species, we look at awnings, umbrellas, shade sails, you name it, any type of shade you can find in the urban environment. And the idea is that there are a lot of places in the urban environment where you can't plant trees because there are sewer systems underground or cables for internet or things that obstruct you from planting a tree. So we want to find out if there are other alternative shade types that could be used in those instances.
For instance, which might be a surprise for folks, a parasol, for instance, does not provide the same kind of shade as a tree.
Yes, so if you look at a tree versus an umbrella or versus an artificial shade structure, there are differences in the density of the shade that's being provided. So if you have a very solid and dense shade, for example, from an umbrella, that will help a lot. Whereas if you have a tree such as a Palo Verde that has very tiny leaves and is not very dense, that will not provide as much shade. But then another thing to consider is how far away the shade structure is from your head. So if you have a shade structure such as the solar structure, the power parasol that's in front of the MU, that is very far away from your head. It's 10 meters tall. So as the shade structure heats up, the heat doesn't really transfer down to you because it's so far away. But if you have, say, an umbrella that's very close to your head, if the umbrella heats up, that will heat you up as well. So as we're looking at the differences in effectiveness of shade, I just want to add that any shade is good. It's not, if one shade doesn't perform as well as the other, doesn't mean you shouldn't use it. It's just any shade helps.
Yeah. When it comes to shade versus no shade, shade. You've done a lot of work, you and your colleagues. Ultimately, what's at stake when we're talking about figuring out these issues around the hottest places and why people should know about this and why people should understand shade?
Well, at stake is the livability of the city and the cities around the world, because as it gets hotter and less comfortable, we don't want to revert to air conditioning as the only solution. We want to have the environment comfortable so that people can actually be outdoors and be active. And the more we can do to help people be active and mitigate heat outdoors, the better we'll be off in the future.
Ariana Madel, professor at Arizona State University, and Marty the Robot, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thanks for having us.
This conversation is part of Covering Climate Now, a global collaboration of more than 250 news outlets around the world. You can hear all of our climate coverage at hereandnow.org.